We're about to go to Chocolate City.
Let's get it!
The capital of the United States.
Woo! You know, haters are haters, you know. They control the mouth.
Merry Christmas, little man!
Commitment to fucking playing defense.
I'm not eating cat food either.
What's this all about? We're on the kiss cam. I feel a little reluctant to take that.
How sweet.
That thing was really strong.
Look out, Nene and Butler butting heads, looking at each other.
Broadcasting from the capital of the free world, this is Zardcast.
Welcome to Zardcast. I am your host, C.T. Schwenk. Thank you for joining us. It is February 22nd, 2015. We've got the full crew assembled to talk Washington Wizards this afternoon. Despite the lack of basketball over the past week, we still have much to discuss. Before we start out on that, though, check us out on the Twitter at Zardcast. Our buddy Max Binstock has been manning the helm.
What?
I know, it's startling news here. He's been doing a good job of it, though. So if you like the show, give us a follow. You can find really where we live on the interweb is at Zardcast.com. Past episodes, links, and things like that. Subscribe on iTunes if that's how you prefer to listen. You can also subscribe on Overcast, Downcast, whatever application you use to listen to podcasts.
Podbay,
is that the one you use, Duncan?
Yes.
Excellent. And if that's the way... What was that?
Sorry.
It's all right. And if that's the way you get in touch, the way you find us, please leave a review on iTunes. That is super helpful. That's probably the best way you could support the show. So please do that. That would be wonderful.
That or cash.
Yeah.
Just send us envelopes of cash.
It's cash
a good way to support us.
We're going to have a new way to for those to support the show probably next week. A legitimate. We have our good sponsors here, but we'll have a 100% tangible, real one, a way you can support the show. So stay tuned for that. And one other note before we get started here. If you like this show, you should check out our sister show on the yet-to-be-named podcasting network, Red Shell Radio. We cover Maryland sports. There's a couple of you crossovers out there that do the Terps and the Wiz. So that is a good way to listen. And I thought I'd start the show out today with a quote. I only live to get radical. And I think that should be our mantra for today. David Keffer, immediately to my left, my beloved roommate, friend, podcast co-host. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Excellent.
But I think that you've misconstrued that quote from Point Break. He's saying that it is not good to only live to get radical. You also have to embrace the spiritual side of it. That was what those other guys do, and that's why they're dickheads.
I totally lost on me right there.
You know what, though? With a movie like Point Break, there's so many layers to it. You have to watch it closely.
You know,
a lot of interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Max Binstock, we heard you crack a beer over there. How you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good. Saw Adam Devine from Workaholics stand up last night.
Good times?
Him and Adam Ray, they were both very funny.
So you said you had some hecklers in the crowd as well.
Yeah. For Adam Ray, they started, and he did an awesome job to like tell them to shut the fuck up. And then there was a guy who finished like the punchline of one of Adam Devine's joke, and he did an awesome job to put him in his place, too. I don't know. They were both really funny, though. I recommend seeing both of them.
Good shit. Duncan, you didn't have to ward off any hecklers in your comedy debut. So that's...
Well, I had bouncers. I had hired bouncers. any rowdy types that, you know, anybody started to open their mouth, they pretty much headlock right out the door.
So you were ready?
Well, yeah.
Okay, that's good.
You gotta be.
Gotta be prepared for hecklers.
Just the realities when you're a comedian like yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the case with podcasters, although we still have no hate mail or anything. If you want to tweet us mean things, leave us a mean review. Dave's been itching for one for weeks now.
He's a dormant volcano waiting to erupt.
I don't know. What other like assets or aspects of life do you... Aspects of life are people getting heckled. Like, are you going into work being like, oh, look at you with your pencil over there. You can't sign. You can't write English.
My dad used to always tell this story about some friends of his who would go and heckle Cecily Tynan, the long-tenured weather woman on ABC News in Philly, and they would just, whenever she did like an on-location report, they would just show up and yell shit like, get a real job, Cecily. And they would do this like all year round.
How did they know where she was going to be?
I guess they would just, it was probably a network of people. I'd see them setting up and get the word out. And this was pre-Twitter too. It's probably really easy now.
Whoa. That's some serious grassroots shit right there.
She's tall. I just Googled her. I had no idea who she was.
How tall are we talking about?
6 foot.
Damn.
That is tall.
It's very tall.
Well, boys, we've got a number of things to talk about. I wish I had them all in front of me, but it seems that they've disappeared in the last few minutes.
Give me my phone.
I think it's the... I'm getting an error note. It's okay. We'll press on. Like I said, not a lot of basketball since we last spoke, but much to discuss. Trade deadline, the Wizards got waxed. Unfortunately, we're recording this before the Pistons game. We had other obligations to attend to. It's kind of
crazy.
And when I say we, I mean the fearless leader of this pod, myself. So I had grandma's birthday today. Shout out to grandma, 71 years strong.
Happy birthday, grandma.
Makes the best chicken pot pie.
Prove it. Bring some back.
I'll get a recipe. She claims it's easy to make, but I don't know. She's got the magic touch when it comes to things like that. So recording before the Pistons game, so we can't really comment on that.
Sure we can.
I mean, we can comment on it.
I'll tell you how it's going to go.
Yeah.
We'll preview it for you.
If you're a first-time listener, we record this on Sunday, so a lot of times we can't really be reactionary to these types of things, but we can. You can pop us in at any point throughout the week, and you'll get the gist of things, especially with 27 games remaining. It's, we've got a good feel for what this team is. And on Friday night, I feel like we've been seeing the downward trend, and we're going to give out some awards later, and I think one of them is most crushing loss. And Friday night could be in that category. The Wizards lose by almost 40 points. It's their worst loss in almost 40 years as well. Not a whole lot to be gleaned. I know the three of you gentlemen, you watch at Iron Horse. What were your feelings? What were your vibes? I know there wasn't a whole lot to it. I was not able to watch. I had some other... I'm a busy man, guys. Sometimes basketball doesn't fit in the equation, but...
I wasn't too upset about that game. Pardon me. Obviously, they got slaughtered, but it was pretty much over pretty quickly. Second quarter, they made a little bit of a run in the third, but not really. It was never within reach. And it was the first game back after 2 weeks of rest almost for like a red-hot Cavs team with the Wizards missing Beal and, like you said, kind of in a slump. I wouldn't take too much from that game, although it was awful.
Dave, I guess we could probably tell the tale of your Friday night, and yeah. I feel like it's pretty comparable to what the Wizards went through actually.
just had to leave the bar. Had a friend in town who was not behaving in a way that the proprietors of that bar approved of, so they asked us to leave.
They were a bunch of prudes.
I do think, though, that when you... I think the best analogy from the Wizards' loss it can be directly compared to throwing up all over a urinal. That's probably the best way to describe how they played.
Yeah.
Got to see that firsthand on Friday.
I've heard announcers use that before. I think I remember
that's tight. I didn't
Kevin
know he
Harlan.
Did that.
He did. And you were fueling that fire.
Oh, yeah. Well, prior to that, this could be one of our sponsors this week. Our fine friends at SeatGeek. All your ticket needs. It scans all the secondary market and will get you the best price at your Wizards game or any other game of your choice. They held a pregame at Penn Social where there was free food and free drinks.
Whoa.
From 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock.
How did that work out for you ultimately?
I mean, I had a great time. I had a great apps, a bunch of beers. Didn't see any of the Wizards game, and I picked the perfect one not to see. So,
Kef and I were waiting at Iron Horse.
I did lose my hat, and I'm pissed. Sorry.
For Max.
If you guys have it, let me know.
The hat? No.
Don't know where that is.
Probably has it. Anyways, Max rolls in holding a like foam soccer ball and then pretty much refused to explain where it came from. Like, what is that? It's a soccer ball. Right, but where'd you get it? I took it. Well, where'd you take it from? Don't worry about it. And he clutched it at his side the rest of the evening.
Well, I did see you try to offer that to several women who didn't seem interested in taking it.
What do you want me to say?
I Max, I kind of like the move. It's kind of like, you know, you're going through, it's kind of like you're a stand-up comedian and you're going the carrot top route yeah. with your dating there. I hope it works out for you.
Or it's like you're like a penguin who's bringing a pebble.
Any thoughts on that?
I mean,
nope. Okay.
I
have anything for you.
I think this would be a good time for me to say. I obviously, you know, a lot of listeners out there, you probably realized I wasn't here the last 2 weeks.
We should discuss this. You're right. Being fined, by the way.
And I apologize for that. You can try to give it my all, make it up to my teammates, you know. I missed 2 weeks, so I got to be three times as good today. I just got to bring my A game today. But I wasn't crazy. I listened to last week's podcast, and I'm not crazy about having my name sullied by a man clutching a foam soccer ball.
What did he say? I don't quite remember. You said you listened to it yesterday.
He attempted to take away my nickname.
Oh, that's right.
I don't remember.
Sorry.
You're going to have to carry me this week. I'm not.
Claimed the P was for something other than perfect, which is downright false.
You've shown us your birth certificate before.
And I don't know. I feel like you two are a little gentler. You were saying, you know, it was a shame not having me, but you know, all those other things. You mentioned, you know, feeling a lack of trust now, and I'm going to try to earn that back. But I feel like Max was a little more biting in his remarks towards me. And
I think he's hurt. He was hurt is what it was. And You could really hear the pain in his voice when he was talking last week. We all just felt kind of let down.
yeah.
But, you know, like you said, it's all about building that trust back up, and we're open to letting you try to do that.
I'm going to give it my all.
So as Friday night pertains to the Wizards, they are sliding rapidly. I believe they're 2-7 in their last nine. They're 10 games back of the Hawks, 4 back of Toronto, 8.5 back of Chicago, and Cleveland pulls ahead of them. I think talking about the Eastern Conference, it calls for the Martell Webster overture in the background. You know, we didn't do that last week. I just want to get involved. The race is on. 27 more games. And it's seeming more and more like that two seed.
Coming around that third turn.
Yeah.
Why is this the Martell Webster overture? Because if it was him, like, racing out of town and getting off the team as fast as possible, is that, like, is it supposed to be, like, a funny bit? Or because I would like that if that's what, like, well, you're inferring.
It's called the William Tell overture.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's just a play on words.
Oh, I got it. Sorry.
That makes sense, though.
Simpleton. I would love for him to just race out of town. He's terrible.
We all know there's a lot of overlap between NBA fans and fans of classical music like this, so we just figured
especially Kobe.
That would be a joke that everybody would get and enjoy.
Well, this is a classical classic, yeah. I'd say.
Bugs Bunny was chasing that opera singer around or something like that.
that might have happened. It probably did, actually.
I'm pretty sure I heard if the Wizards lose today and I think it's Bucks win, they're like a half game behind. They're a half game in front of them.
Yeah. The Wizards have a 1.5 game lead.
Yeah. So there'll be a half game.
And Milwaukee just upped their arsenal over the trade deadline. What's who did they collect here?
Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah. MCW they got.
And Enes.
Oh yeah.
Enes or whatever.
I didn't think that this would happen, but the guy that I wanted the trade deadline was Enes Kanter for the Wizards. I think that would have been nice, but
he is. He seems like he's crazy.
He's Turkish.
He like essentially refused to keep playing for the Jazz, and then his agent came out and said, "Kanter is one of the best players of this generation, and he deserves to be paid like it." I don't think that is a headache that the Wizards need to bring into town.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't realize that.
Are Turks known for their lunacy, Max?
Oh yeah. They're emotional people, passionate people. He's a man of passion. I mean,
I can only think of one Turkish person I've known. name was Femi. Shout out to Femi. You owned the pizza shop that was around the corner from my father's childhood home. Knew that guy for a long time. So I'm all right with the Turkish.
Yeah, same. I'm just saying, they're passionate people.
We're going to get so
passionate
much...
Passionate about their pizza.
So much hate mail from the Turks.
We're either going to get hate mail for the from the Turks, or we're going to get the Turkish bump. You know? Maybe they'll both come hand in hand. Because that's a large country.
Any press is good press, right?
I agree.
Yeah, it's in Asia and Europe. It's money.
Yeah.
Is that that's a good thing, you think, when it comes to a country?
Well, I mean, you can
unique
say...
property.
If you visit, you can be like, oh, I'm in two continents right now. Duh, it's time.
That's totally what you would do. So, yeah, Wizards kind of in a tough spot here. They need to start winning some games. They got the Pistons today. Then they got Golden State rolling in on Tuesday. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, Duncan, we made a... I think we made a bet.
We did make a bet. I was curious what if was, you remember the bet. Max and I made a bet the other night when we were watching the game.
I didn't remember it. I actually had to...
You saw it in the tweet?
Yeah. I'm glad you recorded it.
Yeah, well, you were pretty emotional about the Wizards' poor play on Friday.
Acting like a Turkish person.
And just started going off about how there was no chance they could win a first-round series. And I said that I thought they could. We made a bet, $50. I have the Wizards winning their first-round series unless they play the Cavs or
Atlanta.
Hawks. If they play one of those teams, it's a wash. There's no bet. If they play any other team,
I lose.
I got the Wizards for 50. You got the field for 50.
Yeah. I'm still
confident.
On it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty confident. The Raptors would worry me because they've got the Wizards' number, it seems like. But any of those other teams, I'd make that bet.
What about the Bulls?
I like them to beat the Bulls.
What about the Bucks?
I like them to beat the Bucks.
I guess the Heat are in the mix, but they're going to start sliding now that Bosch is done for the season.
That's very sad, but good for the Wizards.
Yeah, bummer about Chris Bosch. Blood clots in his lungs?
I feel like that's like a retirable... Like the guy, the Portland guy just died from that.
Yeah, but I mean, he was also like 50 years old. Mirza Teletovic on the Nets was dealing with the same thing, and I don't think that is going to be career threatening. I don't think.
Right after they got Dragic too, and everyone was like, "Wow, look at that starting five! Right. They looked pretty formidable, even though their bench is basically empty."
Right.
That starting five was looking good for a second there.
Right. Especially with Whiteside.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of climbed closer to 500.
Yeah.
Now they're just kind of stuck in that seven, I think.
I think that team would have been better than the Wizards.
Yep.
So.
Yikes. Let's see who else the Zards have on the docket this week. Pulling up the schedule.
They got the Sixers again, right? In Philly.
Yeah, and they also have the so Tuesday, Wednesday, back-to-back at Minnesota on Wednesday. You got Philly on Friday and then Detroit again, and that'll be at home next Saturday to close the month out.
That's a very winnable week. Golden State's tough. Every other game there should be a win.
Yeah, a 4-1 week would be super nice. Four of those games are on the road, but, you know, they're definitely winnable.
I think... Not 100. You might want to check on this, but I think that the Kevin Garnett homecoming game is going to be when they're playing the Wizards.
That is correct.
So that'll be cool to see. There will be some like fanfare around that, which I'm interested to watch.
That was a terrible trade for the
T-Wolves,
by the way. They just gave away Thad for selling a few extra tickets for a year or two.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't part of their plan going forward. And I don't think anybody else really wanted Thad Young. So their real mistake was like trading for him in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thad Young looks like a whirling dervish of limbs when he plays basketball. I've never liked watching him play. Everything is so wild and spastic. He gets numbers, but it just looks awful. I never have any confidence in a shot he takes going in. And, you know, they do from time to time, but
speaking of wild and spastic, how excited are you to have JaVale McGee on the 76ers?
I think that's probably an apt description of the whole franchise at this point.
Gosh, It was a really depressing trade deadline day as a Sixers fan, and it really illustrates why like people like myself are, you know, following other teams. What am I going to watch the Sixers for every day when I live down here? I can watch the Wizards.
Don't right. give up.
I'm not going to give
Don't
up.
Don't ever give up.
You know, the Sixers are still my team. When they went to the finals with AI, I was 12 years old. You know, I fell in love. I probably no man I'm not related to has had such a profound impact on my life as Allen Iverson. So I'll always be a Sixers fan. But, like, God, what about kids now? Like, what, a kid in Philly right now, why would he root for the Sixers when there's so many exciting players in the NBA and the right. Sixers just give away anybody they get? MCW, Rookie of the Year.
Right.
Awesome numbers. We don't think he's good enough. See ya. Kenny yeah. McDaniels has a highlight every game. Blocks it in the 10th row. Dunks on everybody. Later.
Right. How sad is the idea of like a little kid Sixers fan talking about, well, it's just about collecting assets, and then hopefully one day.
Yeah. Little kid Sixers fans, they're like hinky fans. They don't right. right. even have a favorite player. It's gross.
And they love math class, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like a really cynical and yeah, I would be upset if I was a fan of that team. And I think that there has to be some part of Hinkie's motivation is that all of this whole plan, a huge part of what that does is guarantee his job security.
Right.
Because they
gotta see it out.
Right. So and even if, you know, that I'm sure that's not like his primary.
He just did that forever. If he wanted like a 25-year career as GM, so he just did that indefinitely.
So
it's a process.
Yeah, it's definitely not like his primary motivator or anything, but that has to be a factor in some of it, you know. He's got probably a good 3 or 4 years left before they're expected to win anything.
I have no sympathy for them. None.
For who?
Just as a
any sports fan of any other town, I have zero sympathy. I couldn't care less about the Sixers and their issues. I mean,
I feel like you might even have
the Wizards have similar problems. Redskins. I mean,
it's certainly not a surprise. I mean, this is just yet another group of people that you have no empathy for. You might as well have just said I don't care about anyone other than myself, and then just leave it at that.
Do you feel like you're? I mean, I know this how you feel this way in general, but do you feel like those feelings about Philadelphia are a little bit more intensified because it is Philly, and with your Washington allegiances?
Nah, I just don't care about them, man. I mean, I don't care if they're struggling. Wizards haven't won a championship in 45 years. I haven't seen like a winning football team my whole life. The Orioles just made the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. I mean, the Caps never
so
went
just
dick.
Fuck everybody. Is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
They are going to be destroying their iPhones in the streets in Turkey Town, Philadelphia. After listening,
dude. I
little hope. Turkey,
little Turkey. Yeah,
I hope
little Istanbul.
Yeah, good luck, Philly.
Anything else we want to say on the trade deadline? That was pretty wild there the last couple minutes.
We haven't actually talked about the player that
that's true.
The Wizards got.
Well, I think we were just talking about like the general everybody else.
We can let's get into that though. Ramon Sessions kind of just traded to the Wizards from Sacramento for Andre Miller. Really, I mean, they couldn't do a whole lot, and I think they did the best with what they. I mean, the straight up swap is fantastic. I think you really just needed someone. You said it better than I will word it right now, Dave. The other day, someone who can run and jump and just do basic basketball things that Andre Miller can't really do anymore.
Right.
Kef got so fired up over back to back missed layups by Ramon Sessions in the fourth, and probably rightfully so, just because he like
missed a layup,
beat his man, got to the basket, and didn't make it. But it was like it
should be said that Andre Miller's first game, he had 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists for the Kings.
Okay,
he loves him some George Karl.
He said he always wanted to play in Sacramento.
Yeah, his family's from there. I'm pretty sure.
Good. I mean, I certainly don't have any like animosity toward him. It just wasn't working out. Dude's too old. But I think he'll probably help Boogie Cousins out a lot. So that'll be good to see them play together. I don't think that Sessions really moves the needle at all for the Wizards.
He shrinks my needle. It makes it even smaller.
I remember back when a couple years ago, the Lakers added him, and they thought he was going to be like a difference maker for them, and that didn't really work out either.
Just really needed some guard depth. I mean, that was like they needed depth, you know, in the front court or they needed a big man or an athletic guy or a guard. They got the bare minimum of what they really needed.
Right. Honestly, they just needed to do something. It would have been a bad sort of signal to the team and I think to the fans if they had just stayed put and not done anything at all.
Kev, if you don't have any Nevada Wolfpack pride, you're not like thrilled with the signing of Nevada Wolfpacking?
Is that where Sessions went to college?
Yeah.
I don't really watch a lot of college basketball.
Oh, okay.
So I guess my answer is no.
Okay.
Surprising amount of sympathy for the Nevada Wolfpack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Max.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick Fasikas. And I'm trying to think who else they had on that squad. They're a pretty good squad.
You've got some feelings under there, Max. See?
Yeah.
They're there.
Is that where JaVale McGee went to college?
Yeah. He's a Wolfpack. Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack, yeah?
Is that their slogan?
That's the NWO.
NWO. I was definitely a Wolfpack guy, not a Hollywood.
For sure. Sting. Red
WWF
Sting.
WWF mm-hmm. only for me.
Mm.
Had my Austin 316 t-shirt.
Goldberg would have pummeled him at the SP.
Yeah. Too bad we never got to saw it. Alas, I know that's how you're feeling right now. Like
it would have been the Mayweather-Pacquiao of the late 90s professional wrestling.
Dave's been crying about it for years. He's like, why did it never happen?
Goldberg,
it made so much sense.
I really don't know like anything that you guys are talking about right now.
Just some late 90s, early 2000 wrestling talk. Just back to the general trade line bonanza. I probably stepped away from my computer at work for like 3 minutes and came back and like Twitter had exploded. My like tweet, like that, if you leave Twitter open, like your browser, it like counts how many tweets you miss. Mm. It was like hundreds. It just went bananas. We talked about the Philadelphia deal or Michael Carter Williams, KJ McDaniel to Houston. What else did we see? Reggie Jackson got moved.
Aflalo.
In Detroit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Aflalo. And then
that was a big one.
Dragic.
I think the Aflalo might be the biggest one.
Couple whiteys to Oklahoma City.
I think, I think you're right, Duncan. Portland really shored up their bench a little bit. Aflalo's a really good player.
Get Batum last minutes.
They broke up one of my favorite nicknames for a team in the league. They're no longer the Phoenix Pairs of Suns, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, you got Goran Dragic to the Heat.
Zoran.
With Zoran, right.
Yeah.
Don't sleep on Zoran.
They're a package deal.
Yeah. And then Isaiah Thomas to the Celtics.
Yeah, that was weird.
That seems like the
whole offseason and then now the trade deadline was really bizarre.
Right. I think, Dragic really sort of humiliated the front office, just started calling him out like the day before the trade deadline, saying he didn't trust him anymore. I think he really fucked him over there. I also just don't understand what the Celtics want with Isaiah Thomas.
Doesn't make any sense.
I thought Marcus Smart was like their guy, and I don't really see how. If you're trying to lose, why do you bring on Isaiah Thomas?
He's not a winning basketball player.
Yeah, he hasn't been to this point.
He also doesn't seem like he's great to play with. I haven't really heard too many positive things about him, you know, as a teammate.
Yeah, he loves the ball. That's definitely true.
Well, exciting times. That's probably one of the more exciting down to the wire, you know, trade deadlines.
Young Nate Robinson, light. They both went to Washington too.
Oh,
what are they? The Wolfpack?
Huskies.
Huskies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get 10 chair Wolves fans, people who like dogs. Wolfpack, Huskies,
all kind of wild canines.
We're gonna get people from UMBC, the Retrievers. People love.
Aren't some of the Great Danes?
Plenty of Bulldogs
SUNY,
too.
SUNY Great Danes or something like that.
Oh yeah, Albany.
Albany Great Danes. There
And Loyola. Sorry. Greyhounds.
Greyhounds, yeah. Local squad. I'm trying to think here. So we've got some awards we want to give out. I do want to let you guys know that I think we touched on it briefly on Tuesday night. It's a big night for me. Big night for Zardcast. Big night for Red Shell. Two monster games. Wiz, Golden State, and then Terps, Wisconsin. Both on at 7.
I thought they'd play Wisconsin tonight.
No, it's on Tuesday.
Okay, sorry.
And you asked you asked me, Max. You said, how are you going to decide which one to watch?
Clone yourself.
I'm going to watch them both at the same time because before we got...
At the same damn time?
It's going to be tough. I might have to go back and go through them so I can kind of get into them a little bit more. But I bought a 25-foot-long HDMI cord before we hopped on here. So I will be bringing my TV into the living room. We'll stack it up on this white box that I have all my things on right now. And yeah, we'll go dual screen. That'll be a nice option, Dave, going forward if we ever have multiple things to watch.
Yeah.
It's in our repertoire.
So what I'm curious about is which one are we going to have the sound on? Because my vote is Wizards.
That is, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I might even go a little bit deeper and try and set up some sort of headphone system to the TV with the Terps on it. So.
But how are we going to talk to each other if you have headphones on, Shui?
Well, I won't have like I'll do like a one ear.
Sign language.
You know?
Dan Dockett just trashed too. I don't like listening to him.
What?
He's the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Big Ten announcer.
I thought you were still... No.
Yeah, why are you on your phone right now, Max? We're trying to do a podcast. I thought you were responding to like a tweet that you had read or something.
I'm continuing the conversation. I'm sorry, you're distracted.
Yeah, you're distracting me. That's fucking unprofessional.
You're losing your professionalism by
paying
attention.
This whole living room's out of order. Yeah.
That book over there is distracting me, Kev.
All right, now you're just being difficult. Like a child.
Should have had that same damn time clip queued up for that, though.
What same?
The song, the one Max was singing. Should have had that ready to go. At the same damn time.
Well, we can add that in post.
Yeah, get that in post.
Are you good at production?
Yeah, you're going to be splicing up that clip.
You know what I was thinking about in post? I don't know why I haven't thought of this before. So last we discussed before how I don't really listen to podcasts, although I have started to lately.
They're good for hour-long walks in the snow.
Exactly.
Three episodes ago.
Exactly. And so yesterday, I'd had an hour-long walk in the snow and listened to you guys do the cast last week. Really enjoyed it. Great job. But in that one, and then in other ones before, we always say things like, call in if you're... But that's impossible. Call in if you have anything to say about this, you know, Andres Beatrins. Or whoever it is we're addressing. It's impossible.
That's why I'm on my phone.
Ah.
Dave. Yeah, I mean, you definitely can call in out there. You're going to have to do some work to get our numbers.
And figure out when we're recording, because it kind of the time mixes up a lot.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't really want anybody calling in who's not ready to put in the work and commit to figuring out what's going on. You know what I mean? I don't want some know-nothing idiot calling in. Not going to know what they're talking about.
Yeah. This is a schmuck-free podcast.
Yeah, forget them. We would, if we took calls, we would have people call in to give their thoughts on our awards that we're about to dole out here. Because it is award season. Tonight is the Oscars. Last week we had the Grammys. Mm. Duncan, you're running an Oscar pool.
Yep, always, every year.
Who is your...
Who's call your... in if you want to get in.
Who's your best picture pick?
My favorite movie was Birdman. I think they're going to give it to Boyhood to award the long-term project that it was. Although when I watched it, I didn't like it that much.
Really?
I mean, I thought it was a cooler concept than it was a movie. I didn't like, number one, when I see a movie, I'm looking to be entertained, and I wasn't that entertained watching it. I respected it, you know, but I didn't like it that much. Whereas Birdman, I freaking loved it. So, my personal choice, Birdman. My prediction, Boyhood.
Who's
and the Academy doesn't give a shit about being entertained by a movie. That's why the nominations are what they are. A couple of biopics about weird British people doing weird shit. Fuck Stephen Hawking. I don't care.
Well, we're gonna lose some handicap shares.
You know what, though? We don't need them either. I think the biggest Oscar snub, really, for me, I watched a lot of movies this year, and Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler was the best part of any movie that I saw all year, and couldn't even get a nomination for that. I don't really understand.
Second that.
He was excellent. I actually recommended Nightcrawler to some people last night.
That movie blew my mind from like start to finish.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's quite creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we actually talked about it on maybe like another podcast.
Well, I think we watched, was it last week that we watched or the week before?
Yeah.
Pardon the sirens out there.
Mean Streets.
Mean Streets of DC.
Oh, when I was driving here, I took a picture of this car. And it had giant rims, and on the windshield it said 24's bitch. And I took a picture. I mean, if you want to see it.
Why don't you tweet it out from the Zard guest?
Oh, account. Sure. Wow. I'll do that.
There you go.
24's bitch.
Mean Streets.
I hope you weren't like actively driving while you took that picture.
I was at a stoplight.
Okay, good.
And it made a right turn. Perfect time to use your phone.
Right on. Let's dole out a couple of these awards. I have three that I would like to dole out. If we're doing this and you guys think of anything else you'd like to bestow upon the Wizards or any moment, any player, jump in. Duncan, I know you've got a personal award you'd like to dish out.
Yeah.
The first one I guess I want to go with is the Randy Whitman Doghouse Award. Who do you guys feel like has felt the most wrath, you know, suffered, you know, the most minutes cuts? There's a lot of guys you could point to who really are at the short end of the stick with him. I think I would go, I won't say the obvious one. I'll go Dewan Blair. Not that he might not be completely deserving of it, but of Randy Whitman's math, he's definitely deserving of the award. But, you know, we just never see him. When he was signed in the offseason, it was like, all right, cool, a way to bolster the backcourt, the front court, excuse me. But it just really hasn't been the case. And maybe part of that is Chris Humphreys playing really well, but it just seems kind of counterproductive, and he definitely gets a lot of shit. So
yeah, and I agree that he's got to be in the doghouse. I was curious why he had been buried on the bench like that, but then when he played big minutes against I don't remember who it was, he acted like a real prick out there and didn't really do anything. So I'm glad. I hope he stays there.
A couple other people, I guess we can crown a winner, but if you guys want to comment on any of these, Gortat or Otto.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I think Gortat, yeah, definitely. They don't really play him in the fourth quarter too much anymore, which I don't understand. You just gave the guy $60 million. Let him work through some shit if he's not playing the way you need him to. Don't just bench the guy, especially because I think Gortat needs – like reinforcement. He definitely seems like he gets some like emotional ups and downs, based on the feedback that he's getting. So I don't really see why they would do that.
I think I agree. Gortat, you know, minute cut in fourth quarter definitely has some doghouse aspects, but I feel like they probably all like really love and support that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw out the name Drew Gooden. Just because I feel like very rarely will he do anything on the court that's going to get him a high five or a congratulations. And he's constantly, like, fucking up. So I feel like he's probably getting a lot of side eye and just, like,
right,
get to the end of the bench and stay there type comments from Randy.
His act was delightful last year. He would come in and make some shots, and you're like, what the fuck is Drew Gooden doing out there? But it's definitely wore thin this year. He's not a productive player.
I think there's some locker room issues too that they haven't been. There used to be like a great locker room, but now I think people are complaining about playing time. And
I did see that Randy mentioned that before the Cavs game. He was like, "All right, you guys complaining about playing time. Let's see it. Like, I want to see it on the court." And
yeah, so really I think the next few weeks you got to look towards like them like starting to figure out minutes and rotation again, because they. Whatever the like heater that they were on, it must have peaked, and they got to reset and try to find that right balance again.
So who wins, Schwenk? Who takes home the award?
I think we gotta give it to Gortat.
Makes sense.
And for that, We do love us some Martian Gortat over here. There we go.
Now we're talking. That's some soundboard work there.
So does Lauryn Hill. She loves Martian. But yeah, I mean, for what you said, Kev, $60 million, you're going to just bench him on in the fourth quarter. I've seen a bunch of different numbers on Washington's defensive rating plummeting when he's off the court in the fourth quarter. I mean, there's a number of things that go into that, but I feel like this is the most obvious one. So
right, and he was feeling badly enough about his play to feel compelled to cut his hair, which doesn't seem like a rational response to that, but he's definitely feeling
those,
it.
Those Turkish and those Polish, they're very emotional. They respond.
I don't think he's probably eaten Chick-fil-A in a while either.
That's true. Maybe that's...
I mean, they haven't... Two people on the other team haven't missed a free throw in the fourth quarter in a while, so maybe like his good play earlier could be attributed to having one of those spicy chickens. And
that sucks because it's really out of his control.
If he lives in the city, there's not too many options except for the one in Catholic's campus. So,
well, I think we pinpointed down. I think we know where he lives about. He lives in Arlington, right?
Arlington?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I remember he bought a house. I'm pretty sure it's in Arlington. Nice house around there. But there's a...
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
There's Chick-fil-A's around where he lives. So
yeah, Balsam Mall. Silly.
Crystal City. Some great outposts over there.
So if one of the sponsors of this week, Chick-fil-A, want to deliver us some nuggets, we'll be happy to bring them to Marchin.
No, I don't think we should.
Chick-fil-A wouldn't sponsor us because I'm currently wearing a tank top and they questioned my orientation. And I said, hey, screw you, Chick-fil-A, and then they wouldn't sponsor us.
Chick-fil-A's values are not in line with those of this podcast.
The
tank tops for everybody.
Tank tops for everyone, indeed. The other awards. I keep saying that's embarrassing here.
Humiliating.
Your family's listening to this.
I've got two questions paired together. Most crushing loss, and just like a subhead under that. What's your favorite loss to the Raptors?
I think they're one and the same for me is the last time that they played the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had played pretty well, very well, I would say. It looked like we might finally get a chance to beat them, and then the resulting play at the end of that game was just such a debacle that it really made you wonder, like, what have I just spent 3 hours of my life on when that is going to be the climax to it?
Yeah, I don't know. I would say they both suck. And the Lucius Harris Award winner for guy who just regularly destroys the Wizards for this year is definitely Lou Williams. He just nondescript guy who just comes in and put in 25 and no problem. No one will step in and put a hand in his face or anything. He just has absolutely destroyed the Wizards in both games this year.
He's got hands in his face, just makes it anyway.
Oh, that's, yeah,
this whole thing.
Lou will.
I think that it has to be an issue with like their defensive system, because like quick guards that can get into the lane like that, even ones that are not any good, regularly just torch the Wizards. So I don't know if it has to do with like how they funnel them.
Chris Middleton scored like 25 against them on the Bucks.
Yeah.
I remember Isaiah Thomas had like 30 points last year when the Kings came to town.
Just random donks all the time.
Yeah.
Q Rich used to go off on them.
Well, I don't think that really has anything to do with this current
routine. I'm just spitballing, pulling things off the top of my head. Just random idiots in the league who just scored a ton of points against the Wizards.
For most crushing loss, I would have to say the January 16th debacle against Brooklyn at home. They lost 102-80. That was pretty bad. And then for Raptors lost, there's some good ones in here, guys.
That first Hawks one was pretty bad. They were
That's right.
Yeah, I was at that game, and they were trading baskets pretty much the whole game, and then in the last minute or so, the Hawks showed what they were this year, and they tightened up defensively, and they made a bunch of shots, and Wizards poo-pooed themselves.
For me, most crushing might be the Hawks blowout loss.
Yeah.
Because the Wizards also were really hot at that time. And it was kind of like, all right, let's see what they're really made of. And then they got destroyed.
Just totally outclassed.
And it was like a Sunday. We waited till after that game to do the podcast. Yeah. Here. And like, waited till afterwards, and they just got smacked. And it was really deflating. So I give that most crushing. Favorite Raptors loss. The entertainment value on the one where they came all the way back, put it to overtime, and then still lost. It's got to be my winner there.
Okay. I think I would dub that one. I think I might give you both of yours as winners there. Ooh. The Hawks beatdown, and then the overtime loss against the Raptors. Excuse me. Let's go positive here. Well, first off, we got to give out our first half MVP award. I think we all know who it goes to, so we'll just play the sound and be done with it.
Ni-ha. Watch it. John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John Wall.
John was just a boy.
John Wall.
John Wall. John Wall of the Washington Wizards.
A spectacular circuit shot by John Wall.
Everybody do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John Wall. Do it, John
Wall. So with that, I would like to ask for nominations for second most valuable player in the first half.
Hump.
Wait your turn, Duncan. I'm going to take a whack.
Couldn't hold it in.
I'm going to take a wacky spin at it because I did put this into the first half of the season. I will say Rasul Butler because without his scoring, I don't think that they'd be in the position they are at the moment. If he doesn't go off in a large part of the first half of the season, the Wizards aren't exactly where they are today. So, Duncan, who are you nominating?
Hump.
And why is that?
I think similarly, he's stepped up in a kind of unexpected way. A lot of times they've been struggling to score with the second unit, and he's not really a go-to option, but when Nene or Gortat's not in the game, he can keep them with a little bit of a low post presence, knocks down shots, gets a lot of rebounds, plays hard. I like him as my
I would agree with
MVP.
That. He, I'm sure if you prorate his numbers per his minutes over like 48 minutes or whatever.
36, I think, is like the...
Yeah. He definitely gets a double-double every single game. He's about as consistent as he gets. Like effort, shot making. He's mm-hmm. very, very, very reliable.
I think there's one more name that's still on my mind. Dave, can you read it?
Nene. It would be my choice.
You didn't read my name.
Oh, who are you going with?
I was going to say Paul Pierce.
But
tell us why Nene.
I just think that he is, obviously after John, I would also nominate John Wall for this award too. If it wouldn't break the
first
rules.
And second.
after Wall, the team, when they're playing as well as they can, like the peak of this team is only achievable when Nene is on his game. He, both on offense and defense, he seems to be sort of like the cog that everything revolves around. When he's in his mid-range, when he's dunking on people, when he's playing good defense, I think that is like the height of the Wizards is when he's playing well too.
I like those thoughts. That was good.
You know,
I couldn't see it listening at home, but I was nodding throughout.
He's very persuasive. I think I'm going to have to lean towards the other side of the table just because of a consistency factor that I think Humphreys has over Nene. But I you supported your point very well, David. You're a well-spoken young man. Thanks. Your parents would be very proud.
They're not. They're so bitter.
Really?
I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a while. they're probably feeling all right about it. And you know what? If not, that was their decision. That's not on me.
They don't listen to the pod?
I don't know. I can't imagine that they do.
My mom, avid listener, listened even both weeks.
Right
I was
on.
Not on it. And she lives in like New York State and I don't think has seen a Wizards game, but I saw her a couple weeks ago, and she told me she listens every week and could probably tell you more about the Wizards than any other team in the NBA, even though she probably hasn't seen a game. So,
all right, well, Mrs. Duncan's mom, I would like to apologize for tagging his middle name last week. You made a great name.
Who do you think your mom's favorite podcaster is outside of you?
Probably Scott Aukerman. did you mean one of you guys?
Well, I did, but you know what? Scott Aukerman's also my favorite, too.
Love this show. Oh, my God, dude. This is the best show on television.
Max has been pushing Black Sails for a while, and I don't think anyone's...
It's amazing.
I'm incredibly skeptical that Black Sails is a good TV show.
I don't get into pirate stuff too much.
You don't... I can't think of his name. Toby something?
Gerhardt?
The lead in the
Toby
show.
Toby from The Office?
Toby from one of the James Bonds, where he becomes white after getting the facial transplanted when he's a North Korean. He's an incredible actor. Mm. It's a good show.
A Starz original series.
Dude, that's I'm telling you, Google it. It gets great ratings.
Have any of you guys been watching the shows we spoke about a few weeks ago? Either The Slap or Secrets and Lies?
I did watch The Slap.
Can you give us your official review?
I really don't like anyone on the show. They're all Peter Sarsgaard, is that it? Is pretty good. He's like the level-headed one. But Spock is just a huge asshole. He's got like serious anger issues. He's the one who hit the kid.
Did the kid deserve it?
Yeah, he was like swinging a bat around.
Can't be doing that. And you can't be letting your kids do that.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, is that the parents of the kid who received the slap are like very... they seem almost like... sort of like new age, like attachment parenting, like
blah.
They let their kid do whatever. I'm not 100% sure I was reading this scene correctly. I was kind of drunk, but the kid is like 6 years old, and it looked like the mother was breastfeeding him while she was having a conversation about the slap, and was like, "You have to apologize to my son." And it was
while
like,
he's latched onto her nipple,
just, right?
Maybe and she was just like holding him.
It definitely, like I said, I'm not 100% on this because it was very bizarre, but it looked like that's what she was doing. And maybe they explained that point when I wasn't paying attention.
Some
but
Game of Thrones shit.
What about Empire, Dave? Do you like Empire?
No, I haven't watched it. It looks really cheesy.
You like Smart?
Well, yeah, I'm a smart guy.
Oh, okay.
Do you like Smart Guy?
I did.
He's
like...
He's a smart guy.
So is my jam.
You like Better Call Saul?
Yeah, I do like Better Call Saul.
You might give that one
strong so far.
It's not as much of a like comedy like I was kind of thinking it was. Yeah. It the tone feels
dark.
Real similar to Breaking Bad, which is fine by me. It's been good so far.
No Secrets and Lies though. Nobody
no.
called that. No. maybe I'll undertake that project for next week.
Okay.
Get some on demand on this week. Support my man Ryan Phillippe.
Right on. Yeah, that's your boy.
I hope Chick-fil-A didn't hear that.
Do we got anything else we want to discuss? I deleted my sheet, so I don't know if we've missed anything or not.
I would like to bring up...
John at the All-Star Game?
Yeah. John at the All-Star Game. He played well. That was fun.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Everyone plays pretty well. All-Star. You guys were talking about it when you were watching. It's just like, take turns dunking and shooting threes.
Right.
But it's cool. I like watching it, but... It's not all that.
I think the most notable thing about it was that Westbrook took like...
I love Westbrook in that game.
An absurd amount of shots.
Why I like that is because it shows that he just does not even have the ability to take it down a notch.
Right.
It's like all he knows is full on go 100 miles an hour.
And I think that at the very beginning of every All-Star game, everyone is just kind of like feeling it out and seeing who is going to be the guy that... is like, I'm going to win the MVP now, and then takes like 25 shots. Like, and of course, it's fucking Westbrook.
Melo tried to do that. He took like 16 threes and two of them.
Yeah, and then he shut it down for the rest of the season.
He's
a big, fat loser.
Yeah. He sucks.
As for things to bring up, I would like to talk about an upcoming event on one of these podcasts, perhaps next week or the week after.
This is right. We haven't clued you guys in on this. We actually discussed it after you left the bar with our friend. Throw it out there, Duncan.
Court Dog. Some of you may know her as Swank's girlfriend. Some of you may know her is a lovely young woman. Some of you, most of our listeners out there, probably know her as the voice of the Zardcast. Mm-hmm. She's the intro and at the end of the theme song. Friday night, she was talking a little mess about being able to beat me in a hot dog eating contest, which is obviously ludicrous. I have my face on the wall at a restaurant due to my eating prowess.
That's a strong thing. Does that go on your resume?
I've never made a resume, but I would probably include it if I were to make one. Maybe I'll add that to my LinkedIn.
Okay.
Face on wall at Fuddruckers. friend of the podcast, Fuddruckers. Anyway, so we're going to do a hot dog eating contest. It's going to be the duration of the podcast, who can eat the most with bun. Condiments are allowed but not required.
We need to get a couple people, more people in on it. At least one more person to like balance it out. Because
maybe we can get my roommate Mike in. Shout out my roommate Mike.
Mike could be. See if you can coax him into that. He would be a good person.
He was the defeated participant at the Fuddruckers competition several years ago.
Well, maybe we could build this as a revenge match.
Ooh, yeah, boxing style.
Yeah,
ballpark
calling him out.
Or Hebrew National.
There you go. You've been officially called out. Mike Corain, friend of the pod, will you participate in the hot dog eating contest 2015 Zardcast annual?
What is your technique? Do you have one?
I've never tried to eat hot dogs. Fucking chomp those wieners down and
Dungan loves chomping on wieners.
There's no way anyone could beat DeJuan Blair though. And,
oh no!
I mean, he's got to be the best hot dog muncher on the Wizards.
I bet Brad can throw some hot dogs back, too.
Oh, I slept on Big Panda.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Big.
So look forward to that in the next couple of weeks. Either next week or the one after, I want to do it.
Yeah.
And the podcast will go on as normal. You three will be up here talking up Wiz. I'll try to chime in if I can, but I don't know. My mouth's going to be pretty full of hot dog.
Maybe we can have like a couple break periods. Mm-hmm. Where all three
check
contestants
in with us.
Pause and give their thoughts, and maybe you can even talk Wizards and try not to vomit on the floor.
Yeah.
We've got hardwood though. So
how many? Like, let's get a ballpark projection. Like, how many think you can eat?
A ballpark. That's a brand of hot dog.
Zing.
I'm trying to get sponsored, bro.
This question was posed to me the other night, also, and my immediate answer was 50, which I'm going to come down on. But my reason for that was I thought that in the Nathan's one, like every year, the 4th of July one, I thought they'd do like 100, 110. So I was like, I could probably do, and they do that in 15 minutes. So I was like, I could do half that in an hour. But then apparently the record's like 60. So
yeah, it's like 67 or something.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, my goal would be minimum 25.
No way.
Well, we'll see.
I'll take the under. I'll bet you. Side bet.
I'm just trying to think of like the logistics of this. So are you just going to make like 100 hot dogs and then...
Yeah, I guess.
And buy the buns.
Yeah. Buns are cheap, right?
So are the dogs.
Yeah.
Are you going to grill them? Are you going to just put them in the microwave? Or?
I don't think I have the patience to grill that many hot dogs.
So. You might want to consider boiling them.
Yeah.
Like mass boiling.
Can you bake them? Or just baked hot dogs?
Yeah, you could bake hot dogs.
You just dump them under some water and boil. Pretty quick.
Maybe we could have multiple styles going. That way they don't get old. You know, you could alternate between boiled, baked, and...
I don't know how much difference it's going.
I could house some hot dogs right now. I love hot dogs.
Yeah. It's rare that I eat one outside of a baseball park.
But, I might get one on my way home.
But they are good.
And every time you're like, man, why don't I eat these more often?
What's your guys' favorite hot dog topping?
Ketchup.
Ketchup and mustard. I do like the relish, though.
I'm going to shout out to chili. Mm. Mm. Chili dogs get me sized.
I used to put cocktail sauce on hot dogs.
Huh.
And I thought it was awesome. And then I tried it again like a year later. I was like, oh, I used to do this. And it was so gross. I don't know what was wrong with me in that brief period of cock dogs.
I like Thousand Island. It's money on anything.
Interesting. All right.
That's bizarre. I actually eat more 7-Eleven Big Bites than I'm proud to admit, but the spicy Big Bite is pretty good.
been a while since I did the 7-Eleven food trip, but I was always partial to the taquitos.
Can't go wrong with the taquitos.
The Monterey, whatever that they have, those are pretty good. Damn.
Yeah, it starts out as a threesome, Kev. You think the show isn't good?
Max
it's,
got his wish.
It's incredible.
We're watching Black Sails right now, and there's a threesome going on. We're all on. We're all on the watch out for some nip. We're all.
You're gonna get some because there's the black girl shows her nips every single episode.
We'll keep the audio down in case there's any young listeners at home.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place to hang it up for until next week. So before we get out of here, like I said at the top of the show, at Zardcast, Zardcast.com. Subscribe on whichever application you use. iTunes is the easiest way to do it. If you're not even sure how to do the iTunes bit or how to find it, go to Zardcast.com. There's a link on the left of the page. It's super easy to find. And a nice review would go a long way.
Or a bad one.
Yeah, good, bad. We just want some feedback. That's all.
Just don't want to feel like we're shouting into the void and nobody's listening anymore.
As is the case with most of the internet. One last thing, like I said at the top of the episode, big night for the Wizards on Tuesday. They host Golden State at home. Maryland basketball also hosts Wisconsin at home. I will be watching both. If you happen to be one of those crossover type people and enjoy what we do, check out Red Shell Radio. RedShellRadio.com is where you can find that at. Full coverage on both of those games. We will be back next Sunday. And that'll do it for today. I need to think of a better closing line, but for David Keffer, Max Binstock, Duncan Perfect Roth, I'm CT Schwenk. Go Wizards!